While changing the window display in her storefront, Vivianne's mind wandered from the tedium of her task. She thought back to the good times she'd had with Robert. Taking a breather, she slumped wearily down on her stool and gazed through the window into the square. A group of horses wheeled around the far corner under the standard of Clan Brannach. Clouds of steam rose from their bodies and breath as they champed at their bits. As they moved closer, the armed men mounted on the huge beasts became visible. First Lord Jareth suddenly drew his huge bay stallion to a halt in the middle of the square. With a harsh, angry glare, his gaze swept the area, penetrating every nook and cranny. Tall and broad-shouldered, every inch a warrior lord, the handsome man of 30-something rode as if born in the saddle. Dark as night, with his black hair blown by the wind, Lord Jareth's eyes were twin pools of darkness beneath his angry frown. Hard as iron and cold as the icy winter winds, his presence was unsettling. As she watched, Jareth's gaze seemed suddenly to focus on her alone, pinning her in place with an energy and intent strong enough to be a living force. Gasping, her hand rose to touch her throat. She felt her face blush under that gaze.
How silly, she thought. He can't possibly see me behind this window from across the square.
She wouldn't want him to notice her either, she mused, as she forced her exhausted body off the stool and back to work. There was too much anger there, seething under the surface. She was never likely to meet him anyway. Why should he come to her little shop, which wasn't even in the estate village? Sighing with growing disappointment, she turned back to her work. Arthur Conright rested quietly as the tall, dark, and furious First Lord of Clan Brannach stormed to and fro behind the desk. Angry glances at the falling snow punctuated Lord Jareth's pacing. Arthur, legal counsel to the House of Brannach, was a contemporary of Jareth's father and had stayed on when Jareth inherited the title. As he waited for Jareth to get down to business, the slight, silver-haired gentleman enjoyed the comfortably worn leather chair, absent-mindedly stroking his moustache. With his brow furrowed in frustration and anger, Jareth wheeled to face him and demanded,
"It is enough to endure what nature throws at us. Must I deal with robbery as well?"
"Has there been no word, Lord Jareth?" Arthur asked him. "Maybe the weather."
"Damn the weather and damn the storms. My men made it to Belfort and back 3 times, Jareth said. "He could have asked me for help if it was needed. Now he ignores my demands. Despite the weather, he could communicate mind to mind if necessary."
"Yes, Lord Jareth. Couldn't you use your talents to reach Lord Herrick?" Arthur ventured.
"No. As he stands accused, it's for him to open that door. Since he hasn't, it's time I made a trip."
"I searched the records as you asked, and you have issued 3 warnings. The legal protocol has been observed, and you're within your rights to demand full restitution and penalties, including the choosing. Anything else would be seen as weakness."
"Very well, Arthur. Have the paperwork ready for me this evening. We'll leave at first light."
Over 6 feet tall, with the upbringing of a warrior lord behind him, Jareth knew he was an imposing figure. The men he chose to accompany him from the elite guard were physically his equal, highly trained warriors, each also possessed advanced mental abilities called wild talents, which proved useful both during battle and in guarding their first lord. Their bearing was confident and dangerous, giving him the force of presence he would need for their journey. Leaving instructions with the officer in charge, Jareth and his 10-man honor guard rode to the east, their cloaks unfurled in the wind as they disappeared like dark specters into the fog and falling snow.